Welcome to today's podcast by Preacher, as he provides sound teaching on the pure and undiluted truth of God's Word with life application that inspires you to live a holy life pleasing to God. We pray that these teachings will inspire you to live out your faith daily with confidence, be assured of your salvation in Christ and God's unconditional love for you.
The scripture lesson for this Bible study will be taken from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. Since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Most of us can talk a good religion. I had an old aunt that had a personality that was quite unusual, as some old aunts are and do have, that she would say to us boys, "Now you do what I tell you to do and don't do as I do," you know, something to that effect. What Paul is doing here, he's saying right the opposite of what my old aunt used to say. He said, look, and in fact, Paul is saying, I know what is right, and I know the way, and I know the kingdom of God, and I know the Lord Jesus Christ, because I am there, and I have been there, and I've met him, and I know. Now, you can not only listen to what I've got to say to you, but you can check my life out. You know, Paul, he was having to prove himself, because they brought into question, you know, as I told you before, his character and his authority and his position within the church. And so Paul in this lesson tells you, said, look, not only do I have the word, if it's in modern language, but he says, I have the way. And I know what I'm doing. You take a check on my life and you can accept it as being authority and being the way that you ought to live. Now, folks, that comes down to the nitty-gritty of it. Paul is where all of us ought to be, you see. Because, in fact, he's saying, take a look at my life. You consider my word, look at my life. You can tell by my life and the way I live it and my way of life that I have spent some time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was telling them, right down to where religion grinds down, you know, and where the bottom line really comes. Does my life match up with my words, you see, and the message that I give? And Paul is saying, well, you check me out if you want to. It's perfectly all right with me. Now, he starts it out this way, and I'm going to stick pretty close to our text because he's saying some fantastic things here. He says, I have a fear of the Lord. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord. Now, he's not talking about a type of fear that we come when we're frightened about something. The text really in the Greek is more along this line. Do you have a favorite place, somewhere, someplace, within a church? What within the service or within the ongoing church where you get some type of a spiritual return? Is it taking communion? Never fails me that taking communion is something that is a very awesome thing for me. Have you been in a place where the feeling that you have had, you can say, is awesome? Whether it's in a church out there, sunset, where's it been? Anyone lately felt the presence or closeness with God because of something that happened to you? Well, this is what Paul is saying. He's had an awesome experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. He holds this thing in awe and wonder. Now, this is what he's saying. He holds the Lord Jesus Christ. When he views the Lord Jesus Christ, he views him and holds him in awe and wonder. Now, because of this awe and wonder that he has in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, it motivates him to do certain things. That's the kind of fear he's talking about here. You see, it's not just saying that I'm afraid of what the Lord's going to do to me, fear and trembling. This is not the thing. He holds Christ in high esteem. It's a very meaningful relationship and experience that he has had with the Lord. He will try not to do anything that violates this relationship that he has. It's like having a dear friend. You won't do anything to violate that relationship unknowingly. You see, Paul would say, using the same terminology, in fear of this relationship, you see, you hold it in high esteem. It's meaningful to you, you see. Paul is saying, not only do I know the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ knows me. He says, I am known. Now, there's an old hymn, is it not? And part of that hymn, there's no hiding place down here. Does someone else know something else about that hymn? Some words of it. There's no hiding place down here. Well, there's an old hymn. I know there's one line of it, or part of that line, there's no hiding place down here. Well, what Paul is saying, not only do I know the Lord Jesus Christ, but the wonderful thing about it is, too, that the Lord Jesus Christ knows me. He knows the inner citadel of my heart. Now, Paul is saying, if you're going to brag about something, and we're all prone to brag from time to time. Now, you got to understand, when he was talking to the Corinthian people, you see, they were boasting about their great knowledge, their great wisdom, their great understanding, and they were smarter than everybody else, and there's more mature in the Christian faith than anyone else, and there's a possibility a lot of that was so, you see. But Paul is telling them, in effect, he says, now listen, if you really want to brag about something, he says, don't brag about this other stuff. If you really want to brag about something, why don't you brag and boast in the fact that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Well, you know, I do not care what you achieve in this life and how far you go and what you do. It doesn't make any difference. And you can boast about great and many things. But dear ones, let me tell you something. The bottom line of this, again, is right where Paul says it is. That you've got one thing that stands out above everything else that you've got, you've ever achieved, or anyone else has ever achieved around you or that you know within your family. And that is, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. One day, somewhere, someplace, this is going to be the thing that you're going to be grateful for. Above everything else. Everything else in this world is going to fade, dear one. Let me tell you, it's going to fade. The one thing that's going to stand out more than anything else to you and more meaningful to you is this fact that I know Jesus is my personal Savior and Lord. That's precisely what Paul is saying. You see, he's down to the bedrock of this business. He's not talking about something out here, this fancy stuff. He's talking about when the sun goes down. This is what's going to make the sun come up again, you see, as what you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Now, sometimes we don't think of Paul as being an emotional person. Well, he was emotional, of course. It comes out, you see, he says this, verse 13, for if we are beside ourselves. Now, that translation, beside ourselves, that's pretty light. The better translation, I think, would have been for him to have said, if we act a little crazy every once in a while. that beside ourselves doesn't quite bite us. A little bit more forceful than that. If we are in the spirit and act a little crazy every once in a while, and he is saying that being in the spirit, we do act crazy every once in a while. Now you see, Paul saw something here that was absolutely astounding and amazing. When he thought about what he had and his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes he just went emotionally wild. Paul, in all probability here, is talking about an experience that he had with speaking in tongues, you see. How many of you have ever been in a service where people shouted? Glory, hallelujah. Hey, well, this is what Paul's talking about. We get caught up sometimes, we as Christians, knowing what we have and what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, we become a little crazy to this world. We act like mad people. We stand up and shout. What Paul is talking about here, in all probability, his background, that he got caught up in speaking in tongues too. Paul was not a foreign to speaking in tongues, you know. A long time ago, I remember going to a church, and you went down, and people would, in the service would start shouting, you know. They had something to shout about. Of course, it scared me to death as a kid, you know. What in the world's happening to these people? You don't understand what's going on. But as I grew older, it didn't take me long to realize that when it comes to this business of thinking about what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you really understand, begin to understand what you have, brother, as far as this world's concerned, we act a little crazy sometimes, you know. In relation to this world, it doesn't make sense for you to give your hard-earned money away. Just haul off and give it away. Give it to the church. Tithe your income. You know, it's a long time ago now. I don't think I'm as old as I am, but my wife tells me I am, so I guess I am. But, you know, I remember starting out with her. She can tell this story better than I can. It's true. But this is my version of it. She tricked me into tithing, really, you know. I promised her if she'd leave me alone, I'd go to church with her every other Sunday. Just, you know, keep her quiet. You know how us men will do to our wives to keep them quiet. We make great sacrifices. Well, I got hooked on the church or on the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyways, I didn't believe in tithing, you know. My mind came too hard. Give a dollar once in a while to a fellow. And she says, well, if I showed it to you in the Bible, would you agree to give a tithe? Well, that's where I made a mistake to start with. And I said, yeah, if you can show me in the Bible, you know. I never dreamed it was in the Bible, you see. Well, anyhow, you see, it doesn't make sense to the world. It didn't make sense to me. You just haul off and give money for nothing? Out of the goodness of your heart, Jesus has done something to you and for you. And out of the citadel of your heart where good things come, you know, we just haul off and give. We're caught up in the spirit of the thing. Oh, to be caught up in the spirit of the thing. It's wonderful. You know, sometimes I'm a shouting Methodist, there's no question about it. You just see things that are happening and wonderful things that are taking place. And if I could sing, I would really sing. If I could just carry a tune, you know. I know what Paul's talking about. You just get beside yourself. No one has to be around. You don't have to be with someone. You're not showing off. You're just hollering, you know. You're caught up in the spirit. Paul's saying we act a little crazy to this world. He says, now, you people up there at Corinth, if we act a little crazy every once in a while, you just remember we're caught up in the spirit the Lord has given to us. You see, for the love of Christ urges us. They've got this translated here, for the love of Christ urges us on. No, that urge is just not strong enough, you know. The love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ directs us. I get the picture. It comes to my mind when I understand what Paul is really saying here in our Christian life. He's telling us of what the love of Christ will do. It's like, what would happen if we could put a dam, picture this in your mind, if we could put a dam from hill to hill here, from Kentucky to Indiana, a dam as high as the hill, and dam up the Ohio River. What would you think would happen and going back up this way? Well, it would just, you know, it would just swamp everything, you know. It would just swamp everything. But when you turn it loose, what's going to happen? Be a flood, but it's going to go on its way. You can pin it up, you can hold it, but when you turn it loose, it's going to go where it is destined to go, back to the sea. You know, this concept comes here. You can take a drop of water and drop it down right out here. And where is that drop of water going to eventually wind up if it doesn't evaporate? That's what Paul's saying. And when you are founded in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know that he knows you, and you know that you know him as Lord and Savior, what's going to happen? When it's turned loose, it's going to go back to where it was destined to go. And Paul's saying, that's what's happened to me. And he says, to the Christian, you're going to be just like a mighty river. You're going to be flowing to the sea. Faithfully, systematically, committed, and dedicated. If something stops you for a while, when you're turned loose, it's going to happen. You're going to get on your way. And it says, it's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that compels me. Well, now you think about that. That's not foreign to us. You see, the truth of it is, you do what you do at the basic, down deep within your soul. You do what you do around here because of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. My love for him dictates to me what I do at the very center of my life. The same is so with you. You know, sometimes you feel like getting up and coming to church is just wonderful, but sometimes you just like to sleep in, wouldn't you? But Paul is saying, if you've got it down here where you ought to, and you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, this love of Christ compels me to do what I do. That's right. And Paul is saying, you know, that this is our commitment. He died for you. He looked at that for a while, and Paul said, not only did he die for me, but he died for all. Now, you can't be saved in spite of yourself. Can't happen. Brother, if you're saved, it's because you've made up your mind and made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, a conscious commitment. It just doesn't go, you know, by a passive type of thing. God can't save you, though all he's done to the Lord Jesus Christ for you, he can't save you in spite of yourself. You have to make up your mind. Have to make up your mind. You know, I've got to make up my mind. I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. He's not going to force us. I think this is the thing that Paul is carrying out here, is that to know that Christ has died for you and for everyone, and this is why we do what we do. You see, we can do the right thing for the wrong reason. Oh, yes, yes, you certainly can. You know, you can do everything right. I can give because I want to be noticed. I can be nice because I want to be loved. I can do these things because I need people to think well of me, you see. But if that's all there is to it, you're in good company. But dear ones, you're off base, you see. You can do the right thing for the wrong reason. Now Paul is saying you do the right thing for the right reason, and the right reason is because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folk, you've got the horse in the right relationship with the cart, you see. I do it because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul is right down where we live. You know, he's not out here drifting around somewhere. He's right down telling us and talking to these Corinthians and telling them, now, here's where it is. It's not out there in some fancy world somewhere. It's back here in this commitment and a personal dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, now, the way it's affected me is it's caused me to change my concept of judgment of people. He said, there's one time I used to judge as the world judged. He says, I saw the Lord Jesus Christ as being a nuisance, and those people who belonged to him, I saw them as being fit to be killed. You got to know where Paul's coming from here. He doesn't say this in all the lesson, but you got to understand that Paul is, in effect, saying that at one time I judged the way the world judged. And I saw these people doing things that I didn't think they ought to do and shouldn't be doing, and I went after them, and I did what I could to destroy them and cause them problems. He said, but that was the world way. He says, because I am committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, I see things through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's caused me to change the way I make judgment in this world. And he says, now I see people, you see Paul is saying, I see people as all of them, as one whom Christ has died for. This is what he's saying. I see everyone, not as the world sees them, but I see them. Here is a person. I don't care his education, the way he looks, what he does or he doesn't do. You know, it doesn't make any difference. The world judges by the way you wear your clothes and where you work and all this sort of stuff. Hold it. We have a different type of judgment. We are judging through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to see another human being in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see this person as one God loves so much that he was willing to give his son in order that he might have life in the kingdom of God. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful? Paul is saying something here. He's talking to all of us, you see, because I too want to judge in relation to what a person has or how he wears his clothes or what kind of job he has and this type of thing, you see. To see a person, everyone, no exception, Paul's not making an exception, everyone, that here is a person that the love of God is so strong for this person that he actually sent his son to die for him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could see everybody in that light? To see them that they are loved of God, that they are the ones that God is reaching out to. I judge the world through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, now, the thing that has happened to you, and when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Paul is saying, my experience was I became a new creation. A new creation. It wasn't done like we usually do our house, you know. We go in and after so many years and say, well, the old place needs to be cleaned up. And so we change the wallpaper and we throw a little paint around. No. That's not what we're talking about in here. It is something that has taken place within you that has made you a new creation, out and out. Not just a paint job or not just a paper job, but it's a complete change. You know, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about back here, they cleaned off this back 40 this past week, and they had a massive bulldozer. I talked to the man about it, and he said it weighed 15 tons. Well, it's got about a 6-foot blade on it by 12, you know. And those big trees back there, that big and 40 feet high, it would just lean against them and they'd fall over, you know. Oh, what power. Just leveled that out back there and just tore everything. It looks like a mess, but that big thing just rolled over that with the greatest of ease. Now, the whole thing has been changed back there. I mean, it's going to be a new place, you know. What has happened within your heart and your soul is greater than you realize. What Jesus has done for you is awesome. I don't care how you feel. This is not emotional. There's nothing here in this particular thing that is emotional. It doesn't make any difference how you feel. If you have committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, something has taken place within the citadel of your being or your soul that has made it new. Now, you may not feel it, or you may not sense it, but you know something has happened because you have made a commitment. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't feel it. Oh, yes. Boy, it can turn you upside down, inside out. It can be, but it doesn't necessarily have to be, you see. Something has happened. My heart has been changed because I am committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are made ready for the highest and the most important position upon the face of this earth. Now, you see, Paul is saying all this stuff that I've listed to you, what's happened to him and what's taken place in here, and the great privilege and the awesomeness of belonging to the kingdom of God, and the greatness of it, the privilege of it, the honor of it, and all these wonderful things, even to the place within the citadel of my soul, it has been recreated. A new person, completely and totally fitted for the kingdom of God. Now, the writer here closes the scripture at this point. Paul is saying, in effect, you are made ready for the highest and most important position in your life on this earth. You have been prepared for this. You have come to this place. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has passed away. See, all things is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. All right, now we're getting hot, you see. Now, 20th verse. So we are what? Ambassadors. Oh my. For Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us. Now that's it, you see. Now that doesn't turn you on too much. But if you understand what Paul is saying, it'll turn you on. And if you really consider what an ambassador is here, it'll make you realize something of your position that God has given you through the Lord Jesus Christ right now. He didn't say this is done just for a few people, a few special people, you see. If the President of the United States wants to honor someone, he can do it by making an ambassador. Where would you like to be an ambassador to? If the President comes and says, you can be an ambassador anywhere in the world that we have an office, where would you pick out to go? Well, I thought about this, I said, I'd like to go to Hawaii, but trouble of it is, that place is already in the United States, you see, and I couldn't be an ambassador there. You see what he is saying? An ambassador has a great position because he would be the representative of the United States. That is no little privilege. That is a great honor to be the representative of the United States in a foreign country. In a foreign country, to have people not even speaking your language, or you don't speak their language. Now, in Paul's day, Roman was a world power. Well, what they did was they take over these little countries, and they turn them into a province, and they would send an ambassador into this little country. Now, this ambassador was supposed to prepare this country to be part of the Roman Empire. This is no little thing, you see. What he did, he would go in and he would stay there until he prepared this whole country to become a Roman citizen, to be part of the Roman Empire, you see. I think that before a state could become a state, they had to be prepared. They had to meet certain standards before they could become a state, you see. Now, Paul is thinking about this humongous Roman Empire that had tentacles out everywhere. And they take over this little country and send in their diplomat and send in their ambassador. And it is his responsibility. You prepare these people to be good Roman citizens, you see. Now, look what Paul's saying. You're not an ambassador for the Roman Empire. Oh, no. You are an ambassador for the kingdom of God. This is what you are. And you are to spend your time bringing in people that should be in the kingdom of God. And it's your responsibility to prepare them to become citizens in the kingdom of God. Dear ones, when you stop to think about that, what a privilege and what an opportunity being a representative of the kingdom of God in our world today. And this is right down where you live and right down where you are, and you're the one. There's no exception to this. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul is saying then you're an ambassador of the kingdom of God. Our Father, help us to see this honor and privilege that is given to us, and help us to fulfill it, for we ask it in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you were blessed. We pray the Holy Spirit will make you a doer of his words, finishing the work he started in making you more like Christ for the transformation of this world and preparation for heaven.